So how many of us have had the experience of coming home from school with a cup, with a bean in it, and some soil? And you're given the task of letting that bean grow. Brimming with hope, you place the cup in the cup of dirt in a sunny windowsill. Water it each day, and before long, a green sprout would push up through the ground, remember, and reach for the sun. I also remember the bean that was placed in a zip-top bag. Remember that one? With a bit of water sealed and taped to the window. I remember that one in the kitchen at home, watching through that clear bag, and how the bean progressed was terrific. It had a little brown stem starting to come up, and then there was a green leaf. You know, I'm not really sure what happened to that bean, whether it ever made it into the ground or whether it was just on the seal to be forgotten, but it was a wonderful experience. A piece of that plant is what we're talking about. It's that tiny little mustard seed that Karen read about. A piece of another plant is started in my house at home. It too started in a meager little styrofoam cup. It's called a Swedish ivy. Do you know anything about Swedish ivies? Those in Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, have dubbed it the Bill W. plant, because he's the founder of AA, and he had one in his office. And after his death, his wife Lois gave a sprig of it away, and you put it in a little bit of water, and the roots start to grow, and then you replant it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. But the more you pull a sample off and give to another person, the more it grows. The plant has spread its joy across the recovery kingdom, and much like AA has spread recovery, the plant has taken over the table in my living room. And if you would like a sprig to plant, I'm eager to give you one. Mom has one that she planted in the backyard, and it's growing wild. So it's not a hard one to keep alive. In our Bible study for this morning, Jesus tells two parables centered around seeds. In one of the parables, Jesus talks about the mustard seed, while in the other, he describes a man who scattered the seeds, knowing and trusting that it will sprout and grow. Both parables are not about seeds, but they're about the kingdom of God. The parable of the mustard seed describes the expansiveness of the kingdom, while the other parable, the parable of the man who scatters the seeds, describes our work in building the kingdom. We are called to scatter the seeds. Now, I know when it comes to gardening, and I'm sure Jeannie would correct me, a gardener must not only be concerned about the seed, but they must tend to the soil. They must fertilize the plant, weed the garden, water it, and care for it. You see, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The sharing of God's word is like a mustard seed. And it's like a mustard seed in a couple of different ways. First, the mustard seed will grow without effort. It's like a plant in a garden. Sure, you can plant it and tend to it, and you can water it and weed it and fertilize it and do all sorts of things to encourage its growth. But ultimately, the growth itself is out of our hands. You see, we're not laboratory scientists controlling every chemical reaction that makes a plant grow. It just happens. It's an act of God. It's entirely out of our control, just as how the seeds sprout and the chemicals that take place in it and the reaction in the sun and the air and the water and all of the things that make it prosper. Like that seed, we cannot make anyone believe the gospel. We participate in it, ensure. We baptize, we teach, we preach, we reach out in love. We do the planting. We do the tending. We do the harvesting. But God does the growing. And that's out of our hands. And as a side note, I'll mention for the grandparents, parents, fathers, especially here on this Father's Day, uncles, all of us, you'll need to pay close attention. Because the day a child is born, God's hand hands you a vast field waiting to be planted and a huge barn full of seeds and instructions to go start planting. Planting that seed of God's word in the child's heart as often as possible. You cannot make that seed grow. That's God's work. But you can plant it, and you can plant that, you can plant it frequently, and you can pray for the day when God brings forth a vast harvest, a flowering plant. So the kingdom of God is like a seed in that way, but the kingdom is also like a seed that is a tiny gift for huge potential. It is a mustard seed. It is so tiny that it's even difficult to see it. Ray Flowers, a pastor and blogger, tells us that Jesus makes two points in his parable. The first is that God's kingdom starts small. That should seem strange to us because we think of God as being so big. And I'm sure it seems odd to the disciples too. I mean, let's think about it. Here was Jesus, who looked like an ordinary man, proclaiming the kingdom of God had come. Wow, that must have seemed something huge for the listeners. But they look around, and what do they see? It's just them and Jesus traveling around teaching people. Think about 12 of them, one of Jesus. And how many followers do we have today? Jesus and a bunch of fishermen. They must have felt pretty insignificant, especially given the power of the Romans and all their legions of soldiers. The second part of the parable tells us that God's kingdom may start small, but it will grow surprisingly large. The mustard seed is a very tiny seed that grows into a huge plant. We heard in the scripture that the birds will nest in it. And that's why Jesus used it for this parable. God's kingdom starts small, but it's going to finish strong. We need to keep scattering seeds, for unbeknownst to us, some seeds are breaking open and growing below the ground, even if we can't see them until we start to see that blade or that stalk appear. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bid upon the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. And what if you and I are the seed scatterers in the lives of others? for the life of the world. It's a big responsibility, right? Have you ever forgiven or reconciled with another or asked someone's forgiveness? It's not very easy. When have you put another's interest before your own? Have you encouraged, loved, and reached out in compassion? When have you sat with someone who is grieving and say to them, "I am here for you"? When have you spoken out and worked for justice? When have you given food to the co-op? When have you shared the seeds you have with someone else? And how are you doing that today? What barren ground is waiting to be seeded and planted in your life? Maybe it's your gifts, your passion, your presence, or your concern. Maybe it's the barren ground of racism, violence, and poverty. Maybe it's the barren ground of loneliness, fear, or despair. Perhaps it's the barren ground of grief, pain, or heartbreak. How might we scatter seeds in those places and 1,000 others like them? In December 1878, a young Dutchman who wanted to be a pastor arrived in a tiny Belgium village. He had convinced the Dutch Reformed Church to send him on a 6-month evangelistic mission to see if he was suited for the ministry. He was sent to live among impoverished coal miners. As the young pastor began working, it soon became apparent that he was differed from other pastors. He came from a long line of prosperous and respected pastors. But when he arrived in the village, he was drawn to the plight of the miners he met, to the anger of his landlord. He was drawn to take the linens off of his bed and turn them into bandages for their wounds. He began giving away his clothes and his personal belongings, and eventually he moved into a small hovel on the edge of town. And he asked, "You are descended from a noble family of Dutch pastors. Why do you give away your clothes?" And he replied, "I am a friend of the poor, like Jesus." In time, he even began to see soap as a luxury and referred to letting the dust cake on his face like the miners. Eventually, the church rejected the young minister's unorthodox ways. His ministry did not conform to their standards. They removed him from his ministry and eventually sent for his father to come and retrieve him from the little hut that he had moved into. To the villagers, he was Le Pasteur Vincent, but to us, he's known as Vincent van Gogh. The experience soured him on the institutional church, but somehow the seeds of faith remained. In his career, Van Gogh painted at least 30 canvases of the parable of the seeds. Critics believe the image of the sower captured by his love for nature, his respect for the peasant, and his love of God. The image of the sower walking into the field casting seed reminded him of all that he saw. And even in his mental illness, Van Gogh understood that the kingdom is sown like seeds in a field. Our work matters, and we have a role to play, but even more significant are the mysterious and incomprehensible purposes of God who brings life and calls us to allow the seeds of the kingdom to pass through our hands into the soil of creation. So the parable today is about the grace of God. And yet we overhear in these compacted stories so much about what pertains to human reception of the good news of salvation. There are clues in the plant that grows so large from such a tiny seed. We marvel that birds come to nest in the shade of this spacious dwelling. So shall the reign of God be. Like the farmer, we do not understand just how the reality of sprouting and growing occurs, yet it becomes a harvest of life. And the tree, from the seed, spreads out branches to be a place of rest, song, and abundance. Jesus told so many parables because he is the very parable in human flesh. This is the extraordinary under the signs and words of the ordinary. So the hope is in the question, what is God's kingdom like? To what shall we compare it? No one answer will ever exhaust the meaning of that question. But the pulse of Jesus' words, his deeds, his death, and his resurrection point to a secret hidden from the distracted, hopeless world, just like that tiny seed in the soil. The pulse is the heartbeat of God, whose rule and reign is here and coming with the incredible speed of mercy. Perhaps the mercy and grace so freely given in this little mustard seed, which is so tiny yet significant. Maybe it's like the Swedish ivy. The more you take from it and give it away, the more it grows and flourishes. Amen.